From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
Our call is like Moses' call in that first, God's burden must become your burden. What is your burden? And is your burden God's burden? If you ask me the question, what is God's will for your life? One of the first things I will ask you is, what has God burdened you with in your life? God's burden is for saving human beings from the drunken consequences of sin. His burden came to life through this man Moses, and his burden came to life through Jesus Christ ultimately. What is God's will for your life? Well, what is your burden? What has God put on your heart?
The Bible declares faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief, that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us a message entitled, Trusting God Who Calls, as part of our series, Trusting God. God called Abraham to leave his country and go to a land that he would show him. He called Moses to go to Egypt and command Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Sometimes God calls us to leave our comfort zones and walk by faith into unknown and unfamiliar territory. How can we learn to trust God in these situations with peace, confidence, and courage? The Bible text for today's broadcast is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, Trusting God Who Calls.
Would you join me as we turn to the inerrant and infallible Word of God, chapter 3, and I want to begin with verse 10 and read through verse 12. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you. This shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now turn with me in the New Testament to Ephesians. The Apostle Paul teaching in Ephesians, very powerful truth. You catch on to this truth and you'll never be the same. Life will be filled with purpose and meaning. It's chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God called Moses. God's calling you. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll read verses 8 and 9 as Paul presses down this doctrine of vocation, this doctrine of calling on Pastor Timothy. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of His own purposes and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite stories about a calling, and as you can see from the scriptures, that's what we're going to talk about, comes from South Louisiana, and it's about a Pentecostal preacher who was had some chest pains, and he had to be rushed to the hospital. And when he was rushed to the hospital, it was determined by the medical personnel he needed open-heart surgery. So they put him on the gurney, and they were sending him right into OR. And he looked at the nurse, and he grabbed hold of her, and he said, What are they going to do? And I said, Well, they're going to perform open-heart surgery on you. Your wife's approved everything, and you're going into the operating room right now. And when he heard that, he said, "Will you just make sure of one thing? Make sure when they get in there, they don't take my unction out." Well, she didn't know what the unction was. Maybe you don't either. It's sort of an old King James word for what the Welsh call hwyl, which means spirit, my calling, my identity, the anointing of God on me. And he was saying, "Don't let them take it because my calling is in my heart." And next thing you know, he's waking up, he's in a room, and there's a nurse in the room, and he calls the nurse to himself, and he says, "I wish you'd come here and reach in there and see if there's one of those Gideon Bibles in that desk right there." And she got it out, said, "Would you turn to 1 Samuel 17:40 and read it to me?" She smiled, and she did, and she read, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. "Now, how's that?" she said, as she put the Bible back in the drawer. He said, "Just stand there for a minute." And he kind of raised up out of the bed as much as he could. He said, 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth stones is all David needed to kill and bring down that one giant. And all we need is what God has given us, His Word. All we need is a Savior. About that time, the stitches and everything hurt, and he went back down. He said, "Thank you for listening. I just wanted to make sure y'all didn't take my calling out." This morning, I want to challenge you to see if you still have a calling in your heart. Because as we come to study the call of God on the life of Moses, we come to understand that when God wants to do something great in the world, God calls men and women to do it. When God wanted to raise up a people for himself, he called Abram and he said, "Abram, I want you to follow me." And Abram didn't even know where he was going. And from that people, there was going to come a Savior who was going to bless the world, and you were going to be saved because Abraham followed the call. When God wanted to liberate his people, he called this man Moses, and we're going to study about that. And Moses answered the call. When God wanted to raise up a leader at the very pinnacle of the Israelite nation's history, as God wanted to raise up one who would lead them in the worship of God, God raised up the shepherd boy David, who wrote the sweet Psalms of Israel. And David answered the call. When God wanted to reach the Gentile world and reach Europe with the gospel, he called Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church of Jesus. And Saul of Tarsus became the greatest preacher and the greatest missionary, the greatest church planter there ever has been, and laid the foundation for Western civilization and for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. And moved through the years, and when God wanted to reform the excesses and the problems that had arose in the medieval church, he raised up a professor of theology named Martin Luther. And Martin Luther answered the call. And when God wanted to systematize this and to spread this through the world and to show how a worldview would touch every area of life and transform an entire city, he called up a Frenchman by the name of Jean Calvin to Geneva. And there at that Swiss church at St. Pierre's, a reformation began unlike any other. And sitting under John Calvin was a man named John Knox, who was on the run from Scotland. And John Knox heard that gospel, and he brought the gospel back to Scotland, and God called him to take a stand. And John Knox stood in the midst of Scotland and all the opposition, and he screamed through all of his life, "Give me Scotland or I die." When God wanted to lay the moral foundation for a nation that was to be, just decades before our Declaration of Independence, God raised up a very academic sort of pastor by the name of Jonathan Edwards, who read his sermon line by line, who spoke in soft tones, and people fell on the floor and repented of their sins and cried out to God, and God led a great awakening in our nation. And Jonathan Edwards answered the call. But let's move from those stories to your life. Somebody answered a call and shared the gospel with you. It may have been your mother or your father. It may have been a pastor. Perhaps it was a teacher. Maybe it was an evangelist, a teacher, a coach, a friend. But someone answered the call to come into your life so that you could be liberated from the bondage of sin. When we look at the life and the call of Moses, we see things in that call that remind us this is the way God always works. And our call looks like Moses' call in several ways. I want to talk about a call for just a few moments. In the Bible, there's different kinds of calls. There's a general call. The general call goes out to the entire world. It is a call to repent and receive the gospel. It is a call that goes out to the whole world through the heavens. Romans chapter 1 tells us that creation itself declares there is a God. Paul goes on in Romans to say that internally, the Gentiles understood the law and were convicted by it, though they had never received the law. And Calvin called this the sensus divinitatis, the sense of the divine in human beings, that we realize there is a creator and we are a creation. That's a general call. That call, incidentally, is going out today. Repent and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him, not in your own works. But that call has to be effective. It has to go into your soul. It has to go to work. And the Holy Spirit has to open up your soul. And that is an effectual call. That is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to Timothy. And he talked about God has called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And then Ephesians 2:10, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. We get the idea that it is God who has done this calling. He's made it effectual. He's opened up our hearts so that we can receive Him. But there is also in the Word of God specific calls. And that is where a man or a woman, a boy or a girl realizes that I am here, that I am God's workmanship, that I am here for a purpose. I'm here to give my life to God. A lot of times people come into my office and they'll say, I want to know God's will for my life. And what they're asking is, I want to know what to do with my life. Sometimes it's young people. Sometimes it's people in transition. Sometimes middle-aged people. Sometimes retired people. What do I do with my life? I believe in the call of Moses in chapter 3, we can indeed see features of the call in our own life. Four ways. First way, Moses had to understand a burden, not his burden. Moses had a burden. That's why he killed the Egyptian. He had a burden to see those people free. What he had to understand is that God had a burden. And our call is like Moses' call in that first, God's burden must become your burden. What is your burden? And is your burden God's burden? If you ask me the question, what is God's will for your life? One of the first things I will ask you is, what has God burdened you with in your life? Now, you don't know who Cindy Leitner is. Maybe you do. In 1980, her daughter Carrie was killed by a drunk driver, a repeat offender. And so she founded Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD. She's saved perhaps thousands upon thousands of lives through her activity. She had a burden, and that burden moved her to a call. God's burden is for saving human beings from the drunken consequences of sin. His burden came to life through this man Moses, and his burden came to life through Jesus Christ ultimately. The Apostle John said in 1 John 3:8 that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We often think about Jesus coming to save, and He did, but He also came to destroy. He came to liberate. He came to set free. What is God's will for your life? Well, what is your burden? What has God put on your heart? You identify that and you're on your way to understanding better how you were God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Our call is like Moses' call in a second way, in that God's enemy is our enemy. Now, in the passage, he says, I'm going to have you go to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was holding his people from being the free people who would establish a nation, who would bring forth a Savior, who would bless the world. Pharaoh was standing in the way because he was holding these people captive. And he was the target for Moses. Moses, you've got to go to Pharaoh. Now thank God, the Pharaoh, the enemy that we have, is not some dictator in the world, is not Bin Laden, as they're all enemies in a sense, but the enemy of your soul is the devil. And thank God that Jesus Christ, our great liberator, the greatest liberator, came to destroy the work of Satan, and he did. And on the cross, he liberated humanity, and all of those who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, will be set free. And it is true, as Peter says, that the devil goes about like a roaring lion. But my beloved, he cannot stop the forward advance of the gospel. Look at all of these flags. There are millions upon millions of human beings beyond these flags. And where any of them live in darkness, be assured, where the gospel goes, Satan cannot hold them. Satan cannot hold our nation captive when believers stand with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Our nation in many ways is drunk today on the materialism of our country, stumbling along disgracefully. But thank God we have a Savior who has defeated the devil. And when you know that, beloved, you can turn to Christ and know that there will be victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. A third feature of Moses' call and ours is this: God's people become your people. He told Moses that I'm sending you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God loves his people, and so must we. God loves, apparently, people in bondage and people in slavery, and so must we. God loves sinners, thank God, or I wouldn't be here. And if God loves sinners, I must love sinners. But here's what I want you to see. What God was doing in redemptive history, God was building up his church. You remember Jesus Christ said that he was going to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. It's very interesting that that Stephen, the great deacon, when he was being martyred, was preaching the gospel to those who were killing him. And in that, he says in Acts 7:38, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness, speaking about Jesus. This was he who was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai. That was Jesus. So what was God doing when he was sending Moses? He was sending Moses to build up his people who would become the worldwide movement of God, embracing all races at that time, the Jewish people, but from them, all people would be engrafted who would believe and trust in Jesus Christ, who would become part of the church in the wilderness. And what am I saying? I'm saying that Moses had to love those people. You and I have got to love the church. I believe if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you love the church, and you also love the lost, those who are in bondage. Are you using your gifts to build up the body of Christ? Do you love the church? Fourth and finally, our call is like Moses' call in that God's power must become your provision. God's power must be your provision. Moses asked a question rightly. Moses, after God says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, I guess so. I mean, number one, you're a murderer. Number two, you're a fugitive. Number three, you're a man with a tremendous identity crisis. Are you a Hebrew? Are you an Egyptian? You're married to an unclean Midianite, daughter of a desert dweller. Exactly who are you? And because of what happened, how could I ever go back? And God comes to him and he says, here's the proof. Here's the proof. The proof is I've called you. You've got my call on you. You've got my anointing on you. And more than that, you're going to come back to this mountain. Look what it says. I have sent you, and when you have brought up the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Moses was standing before that mountain, and God says, I'm going to bring you right back here. Do you know what God was doing with Moses? God was saying, I'm going to use this as a testimony in your life. The very place where you questioned me, I'm going to bring you back. And he did bring him back, and Moses would come down from hearing God on that mountain and see millions of people. God was faithful to his calling. I love to go to see the boyhood homes of our presidents. I've seen Eisenhower's home in Abilene, Kansas, Nixon's home in Yorba Linda, California, Truman's home in Independence, Missouri. I haven't been to Plains. I haven't been to Dixon, Illinois. I'd love to go. I haven't been to Hope, Arkansas. But if you go to those places, those are the places where some boys ran barefoot and maybe plowed in the field. But now there are presidential libraries there. Something happened in their lives. And that is what God was saying to Moses. And listen, that is what God is saying to you. You see how God works? See, it wouldn't surprise me if some of you are struggling with depression this morning that God is going to use you to be a good listener to others who are struggling with depression. It wouldn't surprise me that those of you who are going through divorce, who have gone through the divorce, may be leading a divorce care at church. I'm going to lead you back to this mountain. How will they know? How will I go? Look at my baggage. Look at my background. Okay, the very area where you're questioning me in, that's going to become your testimony. Maybe some of you are asking, how can I serve God? I'd say the very place of your questioning can become the testimony that God uses to say, it's my power, not yours. It's not by works. It's not by your strength. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Your calling is not dependent upon your gifts, but God's greatness. Not your passion, but God's power. So in the call of Moses, we've seen a specific calling, and it teaches us about having God's burden, understanding God's enemy, that this is spiritual warfare, whatever it is that we're doing, that we love God's people, that we do our ministry in God's power. And listen, one of the great Reformation truths is whether God has called you to the ordained ministry or to be a missionary, and God may be calling some young men to be pastors today and some young women to be missionaries, whether God is calling you to do that or calling you to be a teacher, a doctor, a homemaker, a husband, or a wife, a great reformational truth is that all of those are holy callings. If you'll give them up to the Lord and say, God, use me. Some time ago, I visited Walker, Louisiana. Walker, Louisiana used to have a much greater name. It was called Milton O'Fields. Those were the good old days in the early 19th century. But then a guy named Walker came around who was a state senator, and he got a post office put there, and it became Walker. Well, there used to be a school there named the Milton Academy. It's now the Walker School. There is a Walker Methodist church there, and I visited that church, and I wanted to see the records. I flipped through the records to about 1906, and I noticed in 1906 there were a bunch of professions of faith of young people, children. And next to it, there was an entry which spoke of a Reverend so-and-so who was a Methodist circuit rider, an evangelist. And when this guy came through, when he left, they were people who had confessed Jesus Christ. And I held my breath and believed was gripped by the Holy Spirit when I read one of those names in 1906. Mary Eva Milton. She was 9 years old. And she would become my Aunt Eva. And from her, because she heard a call, I heard a call, a general call because she preached the gospel in our home, a specific call because the Holy Spirit used, or an effectual call, the Holy Spirit used that to open up my heart, even a specific call because she prayed for me to preach the gospel. And I thought, you know, when I get to heaven, I do want to see Aunt Eva. I want to see her immediately. But I'm going to look for that Reverend so-and-so. Because he answered God's call. And Mary Eva Milton, at 9 years old, received the gospel. And now I'm called. And now I'm standing here and I'm calling you. Examine your heart. Is there a holy calling on your heart? I challenge you today to consider Christ's call in your own life.
Sometimes God calls us to leave our comfort zones and walk by faith into unknown and unfamiliar territory. And yet, we have the Lord's promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. For an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for Trusting God Who Calls. To reach us by phone, call 423-648-7914. That's 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. Faith for Living with Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga. Now, as we enter into the Christmas season, we'd like to invite you to a beautiful evening of musical worship next Saturday and Sunday evening, December 1st and 2nd, as our choir, along with North Shore Fellowship Choir and Tabernacle Praise Orchestra, present A Season of Glorias and Hallelujahs. This free concert, which will begin at 6:30 next Saturday and Sunday night, will take place in the sanctuary at First Presbyterian Church in Chattanooga, located at 554 Macaulay Avenue. The concert is free, but you'll need a ticket to attend. For ticket information, call us at 423-648-7914. That's 423-648-7914. Now, until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living.
I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.